You got here all right, did you? Welcome to Wednesday's programme. I hope you're in good form. It's 5 o'clock here in the UK. It certainly is in Salford. My name is Richie Allen, and this is The Richie Allen Show.
Uncensored, unfiltered. You're listening to Richie Allen on the world's most popular independent news radio show.
It's The Richie Allen Show. Broadcasting live on richieallen.co.uk and multiple platforms around the world. And now, here's your host, Richie Allen.
Yeah, you know, I've broadcast several thousand radio programs at every level of the game in a 25-year career. I still get a bit nervous. It just occurred to me this afternoon at 4:10, I thought I might share that with you. I still have the old butterflies in the stomach before opening the microphone, if that interests you or not. It is going to be a very interesting programme. I welcome back to the show for the second time in 2023. It's been a while since she was on. Wonderful lady called Dr. Jessie Keener. Find out all you need to know about Jessie at drjessie.life. That's J-E-S-S-I-E. Now, she was one of the very first physicians in America to warn that lockdowns would have serious implications for public health there. Courageous lady, and also sounded the alarm on the dangers of untested mRNA jabs before the mRNA jabs had even been developed or manufactured. So Jessie will be on with me around about 30 minutes time. We'll have an extended chat with her, and as usual, if you'd like to contribute something, you know how to do that. Leave a message for me via the website richieallen.co.uk or use my app. I have an app. It is The Richie Allen Show. You'll find it on Google Play or Apple's App Store then. Yes, and the programme today is brought to you in proud association with NutraHealth365.com. Get on over to NutraHealth365.com and give your immune system a proper boost in time for the coming winter. NutraHealth365.com. I've got some interesting news for you, but I'm going to go away. Maybe you wouldn't expect me to go. We'll talk about Rwanda in a moment. We'll talk about Israel in a moment and other matters too. But I thought you might like to know, it's just been announced the most popular baby names in the UK for 2023. Let me give you a hint. Conservatives are fuming. The far right is fuming. I don't know if there is any far right. I'm just saying this for the crack. Conservatives are saying the news about the most popular baby name is the Kalergi plan. It's a great replacement. Would you like me to put you out of your misery and your suspense and tell you what the most popular boy's name in the UK is in 2023? Would you? You ready? Uh-huh. Wait for it. It's Mohammed. Mohammed. The most popular boy's name in the UK in 2023, or 2023, as they say in Spain, is Mohammed. This is the Conservatives. It's over. Forget about stopping the migrants. Too late, lads. Mohammed is the number one boy's name here in the U of the K.
Come on, don't bullshit me.
It is. It is, Arnie. I'll tell you who said it too. Before that, did you hear this, Tom?
No. Could you repeat it? Because I can't believe my fucking ears.
It's Mohammed. And girls, what's the most popular girl's name in the UK? Go on then. It must be, if we're going by Mohammed, then it must be Abida, right? Or Asthma, right? Or something like that, right? Right? No, in fact, it's not. It's actually Lily.
What kind of fuckery is this?
Not only are the Muslims taking over, but they're having more boys than girls. It's over. Mohammed is the number one baby's name for boys in 2023. Boys, baby's names. I can't even say it. The most popular girl's name is Lily. Now, Ireland is not far behind the UK these days. So let's take a quick glance forward to 2026, the top baby name for boys will be announced in Ireland in 2026. And the person announcing it will say, well, it used to be Seamus and it used to be Patrick, but now it's Ahmed. It's Ahmed. But the Muslims are clever, you see. They'll keep their Muslim forenames and they'll adopt Irish surnames. They're clever, you see. Welcome to the programme. Welcome to the programme, even Ahmed Hanrahan. You see? See what I'm getting at there? All the way from Lousy Bush in Kilkenny. And you think I made up Lousy Bush, don't you? No, I didn't. I actually travelled in Lousy Bush. Lousy Bush is a real town in Kilkenny. I tell you, look it up this instant. Look it up now. I know you don't believe me. Look it up, I said. Lousy Bush, spelt as it sounds. Lousy Bush. It was given the name Lousy Bush in 1867 when the town elders admitted at a county council meeting that the women there weren't great, so they renamed the town Lousy Bush. Not making it up. It is nearly 6 minutes past the hour. Love that. It is... most popular boy's name is Muhammad. Richie, when a joke is terrible, you certainly don't have to repeat it. I get it. Don't repeat a lousy joke. Fair enough. Shall I try again? Shall we play a game we haven't played since 2020 or 2021? Honestly, it's a game we used to play at the time we used to laugh. If you're a new listener, you won't remember it. It is a game called Stupid Question. So it works pretty simply. It's straightforward. We take a question posed by a UK television or radio presenter and we ask our specially selected panel if it was indeed a stupid question. So the panel today is Christopher Hitchens from Beyond the Grave, Donald Trump, the former President of the United States, Sir Alex Ferguson, retired soccer legend, and Louis van Gaal, retired Dutch soccer legend. They will decide if the question you hear is indeed stupid. So let's play Stupid Question.
Stupid question. Stupid question. Stupid question. Stupid question. Stupid question.
Yes, spare no expense with that jingle. Our contestant today is one of the presenters of BBC Radio 4's Today Show. He's Nick Robinson. Nick is speaking to BBC correspondent Jeremy Bowen when he asks Jeremy a question. Let's hear the question and then ask the panel if it is stupid or not. Nick Robinson, you're up.
Now, the difficulty for you, for us, really, is that you can't get into Gaza. You've made clear how frustrated you are. I see that the Foreign Press Association, independent Israeli organisation, is taking legal steps to try and gain access to Gaza. Do you think it's ever possible you'll get in? And why do you think the Israelis are so desperate to stop you getting in?
Right. Let's hear the question again. Why do you think the Israelis are so desperate to stop the press getting in? Let's ask the panel. Panel.
What a stupid question that is. What a stupid question.
That's one of the most stupid questions I've ever heard in my life.
It's a stupid question, I think. It's a stupid question.
Well, what an incredibly stupid question.
Well, the panel is unanimous. It is a stupid question. And that concludes today's episode of Stupid Question.
Stupid Question.
What a question, eh? Jeremy, over there in Jerusalem, why do you think it is that the Israelis don't want journalists to get to Gaza? I'll tell you what we'll do for the crack, dearest friend of mine. Let's listen to the answer given by Jeremy Bowen not long after the question was posed by Nick Robinson. Jeremy, why then? Why are the Israelis so desperate to stop you?
Well, I don't think we'll get in until there's a ceasefire. I'd be amazed if they even then, perhaps, if Israel stays in control of the territory. I think it's because there's stuff going on there they don't want us to see.
There's stuff going on there they don't want us to see. That might win the award for the understatement of the year 2023.
I don't think they're worried about whether we're safe or not.
I don't think they're worried about whether we're safe or not. So they're not stopping us going in, Nick, because they're worried about our safety. God, no. Sure, they've only killed about 150 journalists. You know, Middle Eastern journalists, it must be said. They're not stupid, the Israelis. They won't kill anybody from NBC. Well, that's because they're not in there. They won't kill anybody from the BBC. That's because they're not in there. So they just kill the journalists who are there, the Israelis. Monstrous bastards all. Wonderful, yeah.
I think they want to master the media battlefield.
Wow, that's another understatement.
There are have been pieces in the Israeli press saying that as well as the standard kinds of PR that governments do, that the Israeli army is running telegram channels, putting out very nasty, insightful against Arabs propaganda.
Yeah, what's happening is Israeli soldiers, and I haven't seen any of this, but I've spoken to somebody who has. Israeli soldiers are doing unspeakable things to Palestinian men, and they're videoing these things, and they're sharing these videos and images amongst themselves. Isn't that lovely? Nice bit of honesty from Jeremy Bowen there from the BBC. Just call it the way it is, Jeremy. Don't worry about getting fired, pal. There'll always be a job here at BBG Towers for you. Jesus, huh? Okay. Anyway, to make matters worse in Gaza, it's pissing down out of the heavens there. Yeah, if you're from America and you don't understand what I just said, it's bucketing it down. And if you still don't understand what I said, it's raining very heavily in Gaza, which is about all they need right now there. Shall we stay briefly with Gaza and the genocide committed by the Israelis? Let's do, just briefly. The SNP leader in Westminster is a guy called Stephen Flynn, and he had this to ask to Rishi Sunak at Prime Minister's Questions today. Stephen.
Can the Prime Minister please share his Christmas message for children being bombed in Gaza this winter?
Good question, Stephen. Rishi, will you be taking a photograph of yourself and your billionaire wife, putting it on a Christmas card and sending it to Gazans?
Yeah, Minister.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
What happened there?
Speaker, can the Prime Minister please share his Christmas message for children being bombed in Gaza this winter?
There's a glitch in the matrix. Let's get the answer this time.
Yeah.
No.
Mr. Speaker, nobody wants to see this conflict go on.
Conflict?
For a moment longer than necessary. We urgently need more humanitarian pauses to get all the hostages out and to get life-saving aid into Gaza to alleviate the...
We need to have pauses to get the hostages out and to get life-saving aid into Gaza. So presumably third or fourth priority, he didn't mention, is to stop the Israelis blowing men, women and children to pieces. That's your Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. Responding to Stephen Flynn of the SNP. The time is 13 minutes past the hour of 4 o'clock. This is the Richie Allen Show. Good evening to you. Hope you're well. Dr. Jessie Keener will be up shortly. Looking forward to catching up with her. Don says, several months ago, I saw Kissinger say Israel won't exist by 2030. I wonder what that meant, says Don. If somebody might post a link to the clip of Kissinger saying that, that'd be interesting. Hi to Dave. Hello, Dave, and thank you. Hi to Anthony. Hi, Anthony. He says, I take it no Christmas works party at the BBG Towers after the spend on that jingle. You're right, Anthony. Well, you're actually wrong. I'll be taking the engineer extraordinaire for the programme, my great friend Paul Ripley. We have an annual day out in Manchester just before Christmas. On the show, of course, and we will be doing that. The sarcastic window cleaner says his own missus had a lousy bush when he met her, so he made her get rid of it. Made her. Jesus. Hi to Homer Jimson. Hi, Homer. Hi to Ardle. Hi, Ardle. Hi to David. Did I say 5 o'clock at the beginning of the programme? Old habits do die hard. I apologise for any confusion. You nitpicking bastards, you. 14 minutes past the hour. Messages to the app or to richieallen.co.uk. Where was I going next? The climate. Right. They've reached an agreement at COP28. So they have. It hasn't impressed everybody, though. It hasn't impressed everybody. What have they agreed to do? They have agreed to What have they agreed? It's gone right out of my head. I haven't made notes. I don't make notes. I make bullet points. Transition. That's right. Transgender. They've agreed to transgender away from coal and oil and fossil fuels. No, they've agreed to transition away from fossil fuels in energy systems. That's what they've agreed at COP28. But the language is weaker than many countries desired. as they wanted to replace Transition Away with Phase Out, yes. But they dropped it because there was opposition. Let's hear from Marie Donnelly. She's an Irish woman and the chair of Ireland's Climate Advisory Council. Are they delighted with the deal to transition away from fossil fuels? Are they, Marie?
We saw in COP a very visible attempt by the fossil fuel industry to derail the process, to deny the science and to up the real need for taking measures in the area of fossil fuels. And I think it's a real success that that lobby was actually defeated as part of this process. So from my perspective, that is a real success. I think the words, you know, diplomacy is diplomacy, and you can say the same thing in 10 different ways, and sometimes you have to find an 11th way to say it in order to get everybody on board. For me, this is the signal. This is effectively the starting gun. Now we can be serious about the discussion of phasing out fossil fuels.
Phasing out fossil fuels. What they're asking oil-rich countries to do is pretty much what they asked you and me to do in 2020. Now, we didn't, but lots of people did. They're asking them to commit financial suicide. They're asking them to destroy their economies, effectively. So you were very wealthy there, Mr. Emir, and you're very wealthy there then, Mr. Shah. Well, there are no Shahs anymore, but you know what I mean, right? These Emirs. You're very wealthy, King of Jordan. What we want you to do, because if you don't, the world is going to end and island nations will find themselves underwater. We want you to basically stop selling, producing, first of all, and selling the thing that keeps you in your ivory palaces and all of that. Commit suicide based on an existential threat that we've invented because it isn't real. Humans are not driving climate change on planet Earth. Of course, there are other factors. But that's what's going on. Let's hear a tiny bit more from Marie Donnelly.
And there are really a number of areas there that we need to look at. One, I think it's absolutely essential that financial institutions make visible where they are putting their money so that we as individuals and as investors can be critically analytical as to where the money is going.
Yes, and this is how it's going to be done. The private sector, not governments, will drive this, you see. I've learned this. I learned it back in 2018, 2017. I had a discussion with Hayden Hewitt, formerly of LiveLeak.com, these days a film director. And he said to me, the tyranny you talk about on this show, a lot of which he didn't agree with at the time, maybe his mind has changed, but he said the tyranny, if it's coming down the line, it'll be driven by the private and financial sectors, it will not be driven by governments, and he's absolutely right. They will render the manufacturing of products that were previously made with the derivatives of oil, they will make them obsolete and they will make them, unpurchasable, you know, and they will do that through social media campaigns, through media campaigns, through guilt-tripping entire nations of people. This is how they will do it. I have no doubt in my mind. And it's what Marie Donnelly was talking about there. It's coming up for 18 and one half minutes past the hour. This is the Richie Allen Show. It is broadcasting live, of course, from BBG Towers. The programme this week is brought to you by NutraHealth365.com.
Winter's on its way, and so are colds, flu and other respiratory illness. A robust immune system and vitamin D3 are your weapons in the fight to keep healthy when things get chilly. ImmuneX 365 vitamin capsules from NutraHealth 365 combine effective levels of vitamins D3, C and K2, as well as zinc and quercetin to give your body that winter boost at just 2 capsules a day. Plus, for your peace of mind, all NutraHealth 365 orders come with free 2-day track delivery. Visit NutraHealth365.com now and get winter ready.
Indeed. There was something I was going to say to you there and it's gone completely out of my mind. Hi to David Keane. Hi, David. Thank you, pal. I love you too, David. I get a lot of man love on the Richie Allen Show. And because I'm very comfortable in my own skin and with my own sexuality, I don't mind a bit of mad love. Mad love is good. I don't mind a bit of man love. Thank you, David. So Chris says, so that was Jeremy. laying in a ditch in Ukraine, pretending to be under fire as a woman with her shopping bag passing by looks on in astonishment. Bowen then. Was that him, Chris? Was that him in Ukraine, was it? Jesus. He's now in Jerusalem. If that was him, my memory is gone. Thank you. Lousy Bush has got you laughing. It's got you laughing. You're laughing even more at it because, as I told you already, it is a real place. If you... Here's something you can do in your spare time. Don't do it now. You can Google, other search engines are available if you choose, funny Irish place names. There are millions of them, like Lousy Bush. Millions of them. And you can pass entire afternoons getting to the genesis of such names and whatnot and what have you. Anyway, I'm all over the place. Do you know what it is with me? I'm just doing so much this week. Herself fecked off to France to see the in-laws. A beautiful thing. She's having the time of her life over there. They're in Nancy town centre today. Her and her mum and her sister painting the town red, white and blue. They're going to a lovely restaurant. I think they might be going to a restaurant that I went to years ago in Nancy when I was first in Nancy. I was taken to a place that does the most unbelievable duck salad. Like, I mean, people... It's world famous for this duck salad. It's gorgeous, right? And, oh, Jesus. Oh, it's just unbelievable, really. And just around the corner, there's a bakery. And on the way home, they bake, because if you're a big greedy bastard like me, you've not had enough of duck salad. On the way home, they bake particular baguettes. And they bake bits of bacon into the baguette. So when you bite into the baguette, there are little bits of bacon hid in the bread. It's lovely. And for some reason, it never caught on here in the UK. Nobody's ever done it. Anyway. Thanks for your messages. RichieAllen.co.uk or the app for the programme, The Richie Allen Show app. By the way, there will be a phone in tomorrow, Thursday. Can I give you a heads up on that? Can you make a note of it? Like, there will be a phone in tomorrow. I said if I didn't have Jessie today, we do a phone in today. And if we did have her, we do a phone in tomorrow. Just to fill a bit of time here. We do have Jessie today, so we can do a phone in tomorrow, okay? There's a WhatsApp number for the programme. You'll find it on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm genuinely tired. And I'll tell you something else, but exhilarated. You see, I'm doing everything now. I'm doing the washing up and everything, the hoovering. At the Hoover today. Think of the video for I Want to Break Free by Queen. But I wasn't in drag. It was kind of like that. So three dog walks. I normally do one during the day. I'm absolutely cream crackered here, but I'm exhilarated. Do you ever get so tired that you feel drunk? That's it. And since I was unwell on Sunday, I haven't touched so much as a beer. I'm kind of proud of that. But I might have one tonight. I'm not sure. 23 minutes past the hour. I'll have a very quick look at the BBC News website, see if there's anything else is that I can talk to you about. And I've just had a message from somebody claiming to be Ahmed Hanrahan, you scallywag. I know it's not really you, Ahmed. I know it's one of my silly listeners. Ahmed Hanrahan, great name. BBC News website, what's being reported there? COP28, Mark Drakeford, the Welsh First Minister, resigned. And I wanted to bring you a bit of audio, but I've been limited to playing only one clip from James O'Brien, LBC, a week. Who's limited me? Well, the aforementioned missus. I said she'd break a rolling pin off my head if I was to continue to play clips from James O'Brien on LBC. So I'm limiting myself to one. But Drakeford has resigned from his position. And I swear to God, if you do not believe me, go to LBC's Twitter account. You will find a little clip of James O'Brien declaring Mark Drakeford to be the real deal. A truly great politician and a great man. I mean, to say this is vaudeville is, well, again, second most understated statement of 2023. Drakeford, just like Jimmy Cranky in Scotland, cackled like a scumbag during 2020 and 2021 when he was introducing restrictions. Drakeford is the scum of the earth. And when he announced his resignation today, that bearded, cabbage-headed muppet James O'Brien sat there for 5 minutes waxing lyrical about he was the nicest guy he ever interviewed. No sense of irony, James O'Brien. None. It's your job to turn him upside down, shake him by the ankles, and see what falls out, you cretin. Not to sit there and glad-hand him sit there and make him out to be great. And yeah, anyway. And Tesla has recalled 2 million cars in the United States because of safety concerns. What do you reckon to that? It's to do with the autopilot system, apparently. Crashes, which occurred when the autopilot system was in use. Now, Musk has a lot of new fans these days because he recently restored the account of InfoWars to Twitter. As well, he should. Nobody should be banned. I mean, nobody, right? Unless you're actually inciting somebody to do some harm to somebody else, your opinions should not see you kicked out of the town square. So I, obviously, am happy that InfoWars and anybody else, even Tommy Five Names Robinson, is back on Twitter. But the thing is, you see, the alternative right, they love Tesla now. They love Musk even. And I wonder, are they making hay with this story about the 2 million cars? I wonder, are they adding 2 and 2 together and coming up with the number 5? Do you see what I'm saying? I wonder, are the bullshitters in the alt-right movement, the grifters, saying, well, he's paying for it now. Elon is paying for it. He's paying for bringing Alex back on Twitter. The deep state is coming after him, and that's why he's had to recall 2 million cars. No, apparently the cars are shite and the autopilot systems is faulty. Apparently. I don't know. I don't know. What do you know? RichieAllen.co.uk. Kev says, oil-derived pharmaceutical products to replaced with what? You guessed it, says Kev. mRNA. Thank you, Kev. Anthony asks, is transgender fossil fuel oil dressed up in an electric dress? That's the comment of the day, Anthony. If I had a price to give away, it would be winging its way to you now via pigeon. So it would. Right, I've got to take a tune. Dr. Jessie Keener is my guest today. While we're chatting away, Jessie and myself, she is absolutely brilliant. And there's something you'd like me to put to her, I'll only be delighted to do it. It's your Richie Allen Show. The time, 27 minutes past the hour. Iggy Pop then. Iggy Pop.
I'm a real wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one.
Wild one. Wild one. Wild one.
That is Iggy Pop and Real Wild Child. You had to do that again. It's actually 29 and a half minutes to the top of the hour here in Salford in the UK, where it's grim. But it is grim, but I'm going to bring a ray of sunshine to Salford right about now. Welcome back a really good friend of ours who hasn't been on the programme for quite a while. I mentioned at the top of the show that to her absolute credit, she was one of the first physicians in the US to warn people at the outset that lockdowns would be far, far more harmful than any virus and that it would have serious implications for public health way, way down the line. She also sounded the alarm on the dangers of untested mRNA shots from the outset. It's when we met her. You'll find her on Twitter at Dr. Jessie Keener. She's also got a website, drjessie.life. It's a real pleasure to welcome back to the show our friend Jessie Keener. Hi, Jessie.
Hi there, Richie. It's great to hear your voice and be on your show again.
It's great to hear your voice. Are you looking forward to Christmas?
Well, I am. I'm in an unusual circumstance in that my husband's creating a home for us in Merida, Mexico. We're going to be relocating out of the U.S. next summer. So we're going to be apart for December. But then I go down January 1 and get to stay for a month and get the beach and the whole nine yards. So I'll just get some great rest on December 25th.
You'll have a nice day of rest. Now, I can't just skip over that. So you're relocating to Mexico. Has anything that's gone on in recent years factored into that decision to go there?
Yes, absolutely. Now, I know you know this, Richie, but probably some of your listeners don't. I've been embedded in the natural healing, natural medical field for 40 years. So I'm definitely a major veteran, and I work with very high-end clients. And I've sat back and watched because I have a very elite list, and it's very hush-hush and behind closed doors, and nobody knows where I am, really. I have the freedom to practice the way I want. But that has not been the case for most of my doctor friends, my medical doctor friends here in the United States, because of the constraints of the CDC and the AMA. And it doesn't really affect me because I'm a cash-only practice. And for Americans, you know exactly what that means. It means I don't go through insurance. I'm not controlled on any level by Big Pharma. Now, all of that was fine with me until this thing came out in 2020, and I sat back and said, oh, dear Lord, I know the cure is going to be worse than this disease. Now, I knew it was a bioweapon by March of 2020. I knew it because of how my patient body was reacting. I had people in the U.S. starting to come down with it. But what I also knew, watching previous vaccines and flu shots get rolled out in the past, was that they kept upping the ante, Richie, on the toxins, on the lethality, on the devastation. Each time they came out with a new vaccine, it was worse. So I said on the record in March of 2020, this is going to be a horrible cure, and this is going to be the worst vaccine ever. I didn't know about mRNA at that time. I had no idea. But I just knew, based on watching logically, I love sitting back at 40,000 feet and watching things move, and I can see the patterns. I have very high pattern recognition. So I knew Americans and the rest of the world were going to be literally blanked, like the worst thing you could say, the worst obscenity. I knew that was what was coming. And then I watched, you know, this line in the sand form between the antagonistic anti-vaxxers, i.e. in our country, really the hard left, mostly, going after Christians, going after people that for moral and even good scientific reasons didn't want to get the shot. And now they're being attacked viciously. Then I watched my hairdresser get told at 3 months of pregnancy that she should go ahead and get the vax. And her hair rose up on her head, and she said to herself, I need to find a new pediatrician. So what's happening now is I think I need to not be living in the U.S. because I'm going to be coming out with a book, Richie, called Who Will Save Our Doctors? And it's really based in 40 years of observing how the AMA, and I'm just going to say for everyone listening, the AMA really is to blame for most of what's going wrong here, and Big Pharma and our CDC, and they're all corrupt, and they're corrupt as hell. So I'm not going to talk about that in my book. I'm going to talk about a very real thing that no one's going to talk about, except for probably me, which is we're going to have millions of doctors, literally untrained for what's coming. Nobody that's really a hardcore medical doctor knows how to rejuvenate a gland or an organ. They don't know how to detoxify intestines, and they're sure not going to know how to get rid of these spike proteins from blood using nutraceuticals. So I think the book is going to be a little bit of a time for me where I'm going to have to sort of isolate afterwards. And I discovered this beautiful Yucatan many years ago with my husband, John Joseph, and we've been going there periodically. And they're just about to open that Maya train, which is going to be a high rail, high speed system moving all across the Yucatan, which will make the Yucatan like Italy. And I'm not ready to leave the U.S. and move to Italy, so this is the next best thing.
Wow. What an amazing change of life that will be for you. And on the American... No, let's stay with the one of the premises of your book, this idea that doctors will not be able to deal with what's coming. I'm guessing that you mean that because we know there are many other mRNA shots or jabs in production for many things, as diverse as obesity and diabetes. And these will, of course, bring many, many problems with them. And what you're saying is, Jesse, that this will be an avalanche of health problems in society, and doctors just won't know what to do. And at the same time this is going on, naturopathic physicians like yourself are being marginalised. And, I mean, you've seen this in Europe. I mean, you know it's worse in Europe than it is in the United States, the creeping attack on natural medicine practitioners. And this will happen at the same time, you reckon? So you've all these new jabs coming, and it's going to be one avalanche of health issues, and doctors just won't have a clue.
You're not trained in it. I mean, the really sad thing, and I think anyone that's had chronic health challenges like I did 30 years ago, and they're all resolved, of course, but anyone that's gone through something chronic gets this sense, Richie, that, I don't think my medical team really knows, A, what's causing this, B, what to really do to cure it, and C, they just want to maintain me stuck in here. And they kind of see that. So a lot of us that are doing what I do, we flunk out of that medical model. I am truly a flunk out of the medical model survivor. And I say that word very proudly. But what helped me survive were major cutting edge, still today, cutting edge tenets of natural medicine, what we might be talking about in terms of quantum medicine, high-end homeopathy, for an example, which most people don't even really know about, or they go, oh, that's been debunked. And I literally, when this particular plandemic came out, I made the mistake of going on my Facebook and making a comment about how people could look to homeopathy as a way of dealing with this. And my, God bless her, my niece, my own blood, got on there and said, oh, Aunt Jessie, homeopathy's been debunked already.
It's been debunked. How could you not know that, Jessie? It's been, you quackpot, you. But just stay with this. Do you know that he's not my king, but let's call him King Charles of Great
that
Britain.
King. How about that king?
That king, right? Isn't it funny that his physician is a homeopath, and some of the media here, they take the absolute Mickey, as we say in Ireland, out of Charles. And I cannot believe the cognitive dissonance. I mean, these people live, all of them live to be 100 or over 100, right? They don't tend to come down with serious illnesses. They live long lives, and yet the public can't put two or two together. The king is invested in homeopathy, while they want you to run to the pharmacy and take all manner of crap whenever you're unwell. Isn't that interesting?
Isn't that just the way of the elites, though, yeah, Richie? They want the stuff that works for them. If people knew what I know about what's available today in quantum medicine, they would flip. I mean, there would be people running into the street saying, we will not take it anymore, because the public is being withheld pretty much everything that does work. Not because they're not trained physicians such as me, but because the law gets in our life and says, no, you can't. I've had colleagues oft literally suicided because they were on the cutting edge of something and talked about it. The first healer I ever met, I was 21 in Austin, Texas, had just gotten out of jail, and he was a reflexologist of all things, who taught a very specific lemon and maple syrup and cayenne pepper diet. And a buddy of his had passed a large enough tumor to put in a jar of formaldehyde, gave it to Stanley Burroughs. Stanley happened to show it to someone who told his cousin, who was a sheriff. And the next thing that community knew, Mr. Burroughs was in jail because he cured a cancer. Now, people would say that doesn't make sense. And it's true, it doesn't, except that the AMA, the American Medical Association, arguably the most powerful lobby on our planet, has a patent, a copyright on the word cure.
Right, that's right. And here in the United Kingdom, it's, now I don't want to get into trouble for misleading our listeners, but you're not permitted. There are even broadcasting regulations where you can't, in this country, you're not supposed to say there is a cure for cancer. You're not supposed to say that. Now, we can say whatever we want here because this is a free speech zone. But if you're on the BBC, you couldn't share that story because, well, you could, but the broadcaster would be punished for it, for letting it go out. Isn't that amazing? And can I just say this on that before I shut up and get out of your way, because I want to stay with this. Many years ago, I interviewed an oncologist in Italy who'd been struck off. You might have heard of him, Tullio Simoncini.
And absolutely.
You've heard of Tullio, haven't you? And David Icke, to his credit, God bless David. David said to me, you should talk to this guy, Richie. And he said, you talk to him, he said, because you're contrary. You'll argue with him and you'll rough him up a little bit, and it's good. So anyway, so this guy came on, Tullio, and I said, what's your story? So he said, well, I discovered through my practice that bicarbonate of soda can show, not always, but can show great success in shrinking tumours. So of course I did my mainstream media thing, Jessie, because I used to be in the mainstream media, and I turned them upside down and, you know, rattled them a little bit, but politely then would shut up. And he told this extraordinary tale, and I was in Spain at the time, this is years ago, and to finish this very quick story, because you're the guest, not me, he said to me, look, it's, what harm is there, he said, if people listening to your show in Spain, I was in Spain at the time, if they have been diagnosed with stomach cancer or a stomach tumour, what's the bloody harm in mixing up a little bit of bicarbonate in some water and taking it? Anyway, thought no more of it. But about 6 months later, not long before I packed my bags with my better half and moved back to the UK, I met a lovely gentleman in San Pedro in Spain on the Costa del Sol, and he said, I'm in remission, and I think it's because... And he said, I'm a total skeptic. He said, I thought it was, excuse my language, Jesse. He said, I thought it was bollocks. But he said, I thought it would anyway. I mixed up some bicarbonate. And he said, my doctor is kind of surprised that my stage 3 stomach tumour is gone. But if I was to say that, I could get away. I was in Spain at the time. If I did that interview in the UK, I would probably have been fired by my radio station. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's the controls are so tight right now. And, you know, again, the only way we can have this make sense, Richie, you and I and the listeners, is we have to get to that 40,000 above foot height, look down and go, okay, I see what the elites are doing. I see what the plan is, obviously. And so if you look very carefully, especially in the last 10 years, forget medicine. Let's just talk about the languaging around all this. There's been a huge sleight of hand going on, especially through these sort of medical pundits at the CDC. The way they speak in language about things has really changed. And then there's, oh, we just scrubbed that from the internet. So you just say this to your friend, they go look it up on the CDC. Nope, that's been scrubbed. That's been changed. So they're doing a great job of making sure people are deer in the headlights constantly. And I just want to say one more thing about homeopathy, because if people can get their hands on it, even if they have to go underground to get it, it's worth it. The Queen Mother just passed recently. We all know this. She had two homeopathic physicians on staff at all the time. That king has won. These guys know what they're doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're keeping the organics for themselves. That king got into organic growing and was ridiculed by his family 30, 40 years ago. Well, now he's going to be the one with all the good food. So it is very interesting. And I want to go back to something you were talking about earlier. I cheated a little bit and listened to your show before I got on.
And you still came on. Well, thank God for
that. And I did. Although I have to tell you, you did get me a little nervous. After you got nervous, I'm like, oh, crap, I should be nervous too.
Oh, yeah, so yeah, the butterflies. Yeah, it's good. It's good, the butterflies. Keeps us sharp, Jesse.
I love it. But listen, so here we go. I'm going to say two kind of fascinating things. The whole, and I put this out on Twitter a couple of days ago, and I noticed nobody responded or said anything or retweeted it, so whatever. But it only took about 115 years for them, whoever they are, to take down the United States of America completely. If you look at the Fed and when that came into existence, and then you look at when Rockefeller funded the AMA, and then you look at, you know, all the things that went into making that happen. And there's, you know, documentaries out the wazoo on this stuff. But then you just start to look at what started to happen with the educational system, how some certain nonfiction books came out about how to influence society back in the 40s. And then you start looking at all these vaccination schedules. Then you start to look at the industrialization of farming. Then you look at the chlorination and fluoridation of water. Then you look at the silver amalgams in the teeth. And by the way, ADA, the American Dental Association, is the evil stepbrother of the AMA. So they're both spawns, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So this is all by design. And let me just say something very interesting. I think what's happening right now with this whole save our planet, global warming, climate change. Notice they kind of gave up on the global warming a little bit and kind of focused on climate change.
That's right.
That's because we're actually in a global cooling and they know their ass would be on fire pretty soon if they didn't say something different. So that's how they're using language. But I think that is going to take the place of all of this sort of CDC stuff that's going on. That's going to taper out. We're going to have a huge population demise. I hate saying this, but it's just what's coming. Because like I said, the medical field isn't trained to deal with this. And do you think the elites are going to say, we're opening up homeopathy, free clinics everywhere, it's cheap. In fact, we're going to give it out for free. No, all of these high-end governments controlled by the elites, they're not going to do that. They're going to save the goodies for themselves. And we're going to have a big population die-off, at which point it won't really matter how much the CDC AMA is doing, because all the focus is going to shove us into you will eat the bugs.
You will eat the
Here's
bugs.
Your portion of water for the day. No, you can't drive your car because you don't like your political person leading your community.
Fantastic.
So I think that's going to be, honestly, other than the great population call, I call the plandemic an utter failure for the elites because it woke too many people up for them. It got way too many people who were just adamantly rolling up sleeves blindly to stop and go, wait a second, how many boosters? Like, really? And too much came out on Twitter. And since Elon took over Twitter and changed it to X, you know, so much more is coming out. Now, there's a little censorship with one of my heroes in medicine, Dr. Joe Mercola. He's still censored off of Twitter, but we're trying to change that.
Is that right, Jesse? Jesse, just for a second, because I spoke to Dr. Mercola on this show previously and his wife. I'd be disgusted now to know that he was kicked off of Twitter. I didn't know that. So he's banned, is he, from Twitter?
Yeah, he had his bank accounts frozen. I mean, this is what we do in America when someone speaking and articulating themselves rationally and logically about how you can heal yourself. This is exactly what we do. It's really just put them on the cross. So they shut their bank accounts down. They shut his financial manager bank accounts down. They didn't raid his store, thank goodness. So his store was still open. He got kicked off Twitter. I'm pretty sure he's next up. Alex was first. And now Joe will get back on. But we get persecuted. That's why I've kept such a low profile. And that's damaged my credibility, to be quite honest, because I'm not famous. I didn't even dare start putting this stuff out on YouTube in March of 2020, although I had the film to do it with, because I was like, I don't want to be raided. I don't want people at my door. I've got kids. I've got a husband. So again, going to Mexico where no one knows me and nobody cares and I'm on Starlink and they can't trace me with a VPN, I can do all the shows and book interviews that I want. The other thing I want to talk about, you mentioned about geopolitically how the whole slant is to shut down this fossil fuel thing.
Yeah.
I happen to be listening. Sometimes I just randomly pick something on a YouTube, but it was one of our politicians in Congress asking a woman who was testifying, I guess, for the new Green Deal, if she knew what her glasses were made of. And she tried to fudge, what does that have to do with anything? And he goes, they're made of plastic, ma'am. Now, what's going to replace? And he started listing all the things made from plastic that would no longer be made if we shut down fossil fuel production. And so here's what I want to say out loud. I am a diehard linear rational thinker. I took tons of logic in college and post. And here's the deal. If they were serious about saving our planet and they were serious about shutting down fossil fuels, which I think they are, they would be so serious about 40 acres of hemp to anyone that wants it free in any area. And we'd be growing so much hemp because it's cheap. It fixes the soil and you can make anything out of it pretty much except for water. And where's the hemp production in the UK? Where is it in the US? Where is it in Brazil? It's nowhere. It's nothing. It's nada. Because they're not really for what they say they're for. Just like the AMA in its inception was never for healing bodies. It was for finding ways of getting these byproducts of the petrochemical industry into consumables. So when we get these people crying about saving our planet, but they're buying plastic everything, and we have no mandates in our government that are leading all this, supposedly, by default and reactive management, nobody's saying, okay, well, let's just stop with plastic. We'll start right there.
Yeah. That's a really interesting point, that, because that segues into something that they do regularly, which is they try to juxtapose two different issues, pollution and climate change. They do it deliberately, of course. You know, they talk about how lots of plastic in the sea is bad for marine life. And of course it is. It's terrible. But that's got nothing to do with the climates changing on planet Earth. But that's a really shrewd analysis by you to see that. You're absolutely right. Hemp, what a great call. And what do you think? I mean, you did hear the monologue. The Irish climate people, the Qatari climate people, they've all been speaking today, every one of them, the British people, the talking heads, Thomas More from Sky, they're all saying that it's the financial sector that needs to lead it. And I talked a little bit about it in the monologue. Is that how you see it as well, that governments won't drive this? It'll be driven by financial companies, and it'll be financial companies coming under pressure from activists, you know, in terms of blackmail tactics, like your products will not be used. You know, your institutions will be destroyed by us unless you do what it is we say. Is that how you see it? The private sector will do it, not the governments.
I definitely say not the government. I mean, look, if it was going to be the government, it would have happened a long time ago. I'm sorry. So that's not going to be how it happens. Now, I do think it's interesting. There may be a few governments if they, you know, if the leaders don't get assassinated, like this new gentleman from Argentina. But I think you're right in that it can't be the government. And I think that statement was correct. But again, watch the fudging afterwards, right? So who's really going to do it? It's really going to be the people refusing to do business, refusing to bank in the same old ways. We're right up against this. In other words, it could be in 3 months, it could be in 6 months, but guaranteed, these countries of ours, Richie, they're rolling out a digital dollar. That is going to happen. Everything's going to go in that blockchain.
And is it game over now? Sorry, Jesse. If they succeed in this, and I cannot, if I move to Mexico, well, forget Mexico, if I move to Texas and I'm living across the street from Jesse and you've got something you don't need and I need it, Jesse, I'll give you $70 for that. Done, Richie. Happy days. And we can do that.
That's going to go down. People, I mean, Bud Light and what they did with that whole tranny thing was a great eye opener for all of us to see. Consumers can make a difference. And that's really all we are in the eyes of the business and the banks and the government. We're just consumers now. They consume off us on all kinds of levels, energetically and physically, and we consume of their goods. So yes, we're going to stop that. And we got to stop a lot of things. We got to stop consuming some of the entertainment. We've got to start recognizing things for what they are. You know, there is a general override of creating more chaos, more fear, more strife, more wars, more conflict by the team running the planet.
I've got some.
And what we have to do is stop responding to it, stop reacting to it. Don't let your adrenals get all bunched up and start shooting up your stress hormone cortisol. Start meditating, start doing deep breathing, because we are the ones that are going to make the change by changing our behavior. And Richie, more importantly, changing who we're being. Are we being reactionary? Are we being proactive? Are we sitting at home fretting and watching the telly? Are we exercising instead of that? So there's things we can do at home that I think people forget that. And also, again, this thing with the herbs and the all the restrictions, I really think that's going to get blown apart. And I really think we have COVID and the pandemic to thank for that. And I don't think they saw this coming. I think they thought there would be just like one fell swoop and people are either dead or they're getting vaccinated out the wazoo and they're going to be insane in a few years or they're going to die anyway. So they didn't see coming people saying no, or after one or two shots saying they didn't see it. And now here we are going, we don't want to consume anything you've got. We don't want your medicine. Yes, if I'm in a car accident, Richie, God forbid, and there's blood spurting out of a broken arm with the bone sticking out the skin, I want medics. I want drugs. I want surgery. But 99% of what we need for healthcare is not in that model. And that's where we are. And people are just going to start looking elsewhere. Like you said, barter systems, trade systems, silver coin, whatever you got. If I've got a stock part of herbs that'll help you sleep at night, I can barter for you fixing my car. Absolutely. We need to get off this complete system. And this system is, it's running the bank. The banks run the system. Big Pharma runs us. You see what I'm saying? It's all one giant
hamster wheel. Yeah. I've got lots of messages for you from our listeners, unsurprisingly. You did mention trannies. I don't know what's happening in Texas now, Jesse, but this isn't good. It's been reported today that a boy has won an under 14 girls Irish dancing championship in Dallas. So there's Irish dancing in Dallas. Thank God for that. God bless us and save us. It's very important. But a boy has won the under 14 girls Irish Dallas Irish dancing championship. That's a bit crazy, isn't it? How is this going?
Well, it's completely insane, Richie. I'm a former athlete, and I can tell you, I would have probably been jailed if they tried to do that on one of my sports teams or as a cheerleader or a track star. If someone said, yeah, you're going to go do your 880 up against this guy, and it's actually a guy, but he's got long hair braids and he's got fake boob, but go, Jesse, run as fast as you can. I would have been probably arrested after that because I would have put my foot down so hard. Here's the thing.
In a place where it hurts.
We have to have real compassion for these kids because they... Is it their fault they got programmed into this? Absolutely not. Who's to blame? The schools, the home life, the government, the agenda. So, you know, it points to a real issue, and it's not pretty. These are going to be people that lose their minds, literally.
No doubt about it. We've been speaking about it this week on the program. It's kind of demonic, that particular agenda. And fair play, as we say back home. Good on you for saying, you know, the kids are victims and not to be targeted or mocked. Let me get you some more messages. Some brilliant questions came in here. Kay asks, Richie, could you ask Jesse if, in her opinion, She thinks the COVID mRNA shots do have the possibility or the capability of changing people's DNA. This is a contentious one. What do you think?
No contention on my part. What do you think it's going to do? Of course it is. Of course. Of course. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And what could that mean?
Let me give you an example. My mom and my dad had particular metals in their teeth. Now, when I got to have fillings in my mouth, they'd already started changing the composition. And so they weren't putting nickel in there anymore because that could be poisonous, blah, blah, blah. But when I did my hair analysis, I was toxic in cadmium. And my professional, she wasn't a doctor, but she was a nutritionist, said, well, you know, that would come from like your dad having fillings and crowns and different metals in his mouth, and it would just tag the DNA and then you get imprinted in that. So these things imprint the DNA. But here's what we have to also understand. A lot of other things are already imprinting our DNA. Electrical grids are definitely imprinting. If you take enough exposure to electromagnetic fields, it will tag the DNA. It'll start to make changes. It'll start to genetically modify us. We're all getting genetically modified by electrical grids. And by the way, they, the ones running the planet, have free energy systems that they're withholding from us. They know about this. That's why they off Tesla, because they don't want us having free energy that doesn't have a side effect.
I love the story of Tesla. And Wilhelm Reich, I used to talk a lot about him years ago as well, Orgone Energy. I've probably pronounced that incorrectly, but yeah, they do. They destroyed these men, didn't they, when they started talking a bit too much truth, Jesse?
Well, anyone in our country now, I don't know, because I really haven't looked historically at your country, but in our country, the great alternative inventors, they either died broke or they were offed. And it's horrible. I have a colleague, Nicholas Gonzalez out of New York, brilliant guy who 35 years ago was on the cutting edge of cancer therapies using enzymes, natural enzymes. He got offed about 10 years ago. He had published a book and a bunch of research, and he had cures for cancer. So this is a real thing. And here's the bottom line. We still can't live in fear. It's not okay. We can be aware and discerning that this is their agenda. This is what they're doing. But they win when we live in fear.
Dr. Jesse Keener is our guest. So it's Jesse, J-E-S-S-I-E, Keener, K-W-E-N-E-R. I know you know who Jesse is, but you'll find her drjesse.life. She's on Twitter as Dr. Jesse Keener. Enormous interest. William asks this now, speaking of cancer earlier on, this always happens when you come on. People start throwing questions at you, but it's good. What does Jesse think about hibiscus supplements, says William? I take them, and I also take apricot kernels. Some claim these can be beneficial in dealing with certain types of cancers. What do you reckon?
Well, so let me just see how I can do this quick, down and dirty. When we're looking at cancer, we're looking at halting a progression or reversing a cancer. We have to be blasting the body with a real high-end change. In other words, whatever the body was stuck in, that pattern created the cancer. So we really have to go in and make a drastic change. Those two therapies are what I would call third-tier supplements. In other words, first, I'd go in and clean out all the parasites and the yeast fungus, and that's about a 30-day run right there. And then I would start other supplements to do anti-cancer specific things. But since we know the leading, unless you were exposed to an Agent Orange type toxin, the leading causes of cancers in human bodies are chronic parasites and chronic yeast fungus. And that's what your doctor friend in Italy had done, Richie, is he had figured out that he could mix a little maple syrup and a little baking soda in a syringe, inject the tumors, and the yeast fungus living that was generating those tumors would get the maple syrup going, ingest the baking soda, and die of alkaline poisoning. So I would say, yes, those are great. But if you're not doing the basics, like clear out the parasites every single month, you got to clear them out. You've got to drastically change the diet. And then you've got to look at the organs of elimination, such as the liver and the kidneys and the lungs, and the colon of health, of course, to see, do they need to be detoxified? Do they need some regeneration? Why are they sluggish? So there's a lot there. And this is all really fresh in my mind because I just received 60 days ago my first turbo cancer victim patient from the mRNA shots. And some of you out there have heard about these turbo cancers. And I'm telling you, in 40 years, I've never seen a cancer grow as fast as this one did. And she's a healthy, athletic, 42-year-old engineer, and this is what's going to be happening in bodies. They're just going to blow up with huge tumors literally overnight. So yes, keep going hibiscus. Yes, keep going with the B17, and understand there's really important work to do cleaning out the septic overload, the sewage of the parasites and the fungus.
On the turbo cancers, you'll be aware that in the UK, the government and the health service is putting it down to the fact that people didn't get scans and didn't get exploratory procedures back in lockdown. So that's their excuse for, you know, the prevalence of cancer. Is that the case in the US, Jesse, as far as you understand it? How are they covering it up, so many cases of cancer?
I don't think I know, because I don't really watch anything with mainstream media. I do read some things on my Google feed, and my Twitter feed is it's pretty juicy with medical stuff. And I would say if they have anything they're saying at all, they would have that same refrain for sure that, yeah, people were in lockdown. They didn't have appointments. Clinics were closed. People had to wait too long. Sorry. Your own Dr. Mike Yadin has become, he was a VP of Pfizer, and he is blowing the whistle left and right over there in UK. And I think he's actually speaking today in front of either Parliament or something important over there, because I follow him on Twitter, and or I should call it X now. Thank you, Elon. So I think there's enough people with credentials speaking out against that approach that we're going to see some pretty interesting developments in the next 12 months.
You know what you refer to there, the MP Andrew Bridgen gathered a number of doctors and scientists like Yadin and others and brought them to the House of Commons last week to address MPs, you know, should members of Parliament choose to turn up. But only a handful turned up, Jesse. Would you believe it? And this was the same case last year when Bridgen managed to get a debate in the House of Commons. He got a debate on the books, and the debate was on vaccine harms. There were 7 or 8 MPs out of 650 turned up. They're shameless, these people, really, aren't they? I mean, they're beyond shameless to not be interested.
I think they've really sold their souls, and I think there's money behind it. In other words, I really do think they're either being blackmailed about something, because that's part of the tactic they use to control these people. We're gonna take your wife and cut off her hand or something, you know, and they are terrified. And so I think they're just acting as they're commanded to do so. I don't think they actually have their own spirit connected anymore where they could say, well, that's not a good idea, and that doesn't make sense to me, and I don't want to hurt people. So I think we have that pretty much everywhere. Every major civilized country right now is being run by psychopathic, blackmailed, either downright evil or evil second cousin. They've all sold out. There's very few good ones left. We've got a couple. You've got a couple, I'm sure. And we'll see. You know, hey, we've got RFK Jr. over here just blowing whistles left and right now.
Here's the question. Here's the question, Jesse Keener. Dr. Jesse Keener is our guest. So I ask this now, as I ask it. I have no agenda. You know I have no agenda whatsoever. I don't know. But isn't it interesting that in an interview given by RFK Jr., and like you, I've been excited and impressed about him being able to speak openly on the mainstream media in the States about vaccine injuries and COVID, and that's great. Like, who could argue with that? But a question was put to him about Jeffrey Epstein. I thought it was fascinating. It turned out that he did travel a couple of times with Epstein, and at one time they went fossil hunting or something. Is that something we should look a bit more into? Should we be... Look, we shouldn't condemn people. You know, people do bump into evil bastards, excuse my language. I mean, it can happen. So I'm not saying that RFK Jr. is some bad guy. So should we just say, give him a pass? Or, in light of everything we've learned in recent years, should we exercise a little bit more caution before getting so excited about RFK Jr.? I mean, flying a couple of times with Epstein.
Excited. Okay, so I have a different approach with all this, probably because I've been 40 years in the trenches of facing the bullshit, if I can be so frank.
You can.
And watching people lie and lie and lie. And I'm like over here, oh, the emperor has no clothes. And people are like, shut up, you're too young to know anything. So I have a different approach on this. What I'm excited about is the information he's getting out there. Yeah. I'm not excited about him, because I've learned better than to be excited about someone like that. He'll either get offed, and I mean this with humility, he'll either get offed, God bless him, partly because, you know, the Biden administration won't give him bodyguards. First, presidential candidate ever to be denied Secret Service because he's RFK Jr., obviously. So I just think it's important that for whatever reason, he's being allowed to get this stuff out there to the degree that he is, and more people are listening. Again, just like you said about when Dr. Yaden spoke, are there enough people listening? No, probably not. But he's got the stats, he's got the facts, he backs it up, he's got books, he's got films, he's got children's lives who they've helped with his defense funds. So to me, it's more important what he's saying. And I learned that most recently through Trump. Quite frankly, I never liked Donald Trump. Interestingly enough, I'd actually been in business tangentially with Donald Trump, had met him, had shook his hand, had heard him speak at some of our business meetings. And this was like 10 years before he put his hat in the ring. But I never liked him as a person. I liked some of the things he stood for when he ran for president. And when he stood up in March of 2020 at that presser and started talking about blood therapeutics and hydroxychloroquinone and other blood therapeutics, I loved him. Do I think he's brash? Do I think he's maybe just, you know, just maybe still some skeletons in the closet? Probably. Do I care? No, because it's not the person, it's the message.
It's a good answer. That if he's putting that information in front of American people, and if many of them will take a much harder look at mRNA jabs, and if it saves their lives, I agree with you 100%. It's just curious that it came up. It came out of the blue in the interview he was doing, and it surprised a lot of people because Epstein was obviously a very bad, very dangerous character. And I think the best, what we know about him, was that he was entrapping people, wasn't he? People that would be blackmailed later on. But it doesn't necessarily mean, of course, I mean, at that stage, when RFK met him, nobody could have known that RFK at some stage in the future might run for president. And it's kind of depressing what you said, but I agree with you. I mean, if he is the real deal, God love him, maybe he will, you know, an accident will befall him. But I tell you this, Jesse, because his profile has grown so much, not just in your country. I mean, he's famous around the world now because of his activism on vaccines. You'd have to imagine they'd be taking a big chance by killing him, wouldn't they? I mean, there would be a blowback.
It'd be a major blowback. I mean, when I was a kid, we moved to Brazil. It was right after Kennedy was shot. So when was that? 64 to 66, I guess. Brazilians worship the Kennedys. Like, they worship them. And I can only imagine as RFK gets out there globally, and by the way, not for nothing, he's been an incredible environmentalist who sees through the bullshit of this Green Deal like no one's business. Like, this guy's the real deal on environment. And so I guess what I want to say about this is there's probably one or two people on the list that went to Epstein Island that didn't participate at 100% in all of the evil. If RFK Jr., for instance, from an environmental perspective, was like, hey, I'd love to come down, love to dig some fossils, maybe get a scuba gear on, go look at some reefs, whatever. Maybe he didn't respond to the right code words that were uttered to him on the airplane.
That makes sense to me. That makes sense to me. Look, of course, Epstein would have had dealings with other people who would not have been, you know, exposed to, you know, wouldn't have been brought before underage children. Of course, 100%, that's right. It makes perfect sense what you said, that there was an environmentalist aspect to all of that, and maybe that's why he met him a couple of times. Fair enough, Jesse. Dr. Jesse Keener is our guest. Look, we've got 20 minutes left. It's absolutely flown by this, and the questions are flying in for Dr. Jesse Keener. Is Jesse aware of Tom Cowan's new naturopathic medicine approach? What does she think of it? And does she know about Anarchapulco, which is something which takes place in Acapulco every year, and Jeff Berwick organises it? A lot of people like Jeff Berwick. Do you know about any of that?
No, I really don't. I've had my head kind of down with the patients working on stuff, so I really don't. Anything that you care to share, you could DM me on X.
Yeah, no doubt, I will.
Dr. Jesse Keener, and I'll share it back.
So Dr. Jesse Keener on X, if you want to let Jesse know about these things, that's how you reach her. Twitter's the best way to reach her. The time's coming up for 12 minutes past the hour. Let me just go back to the website. A number of people have asked me about a guy who was around, he was around in the early 20th century. He was born in the late 19th century. His name was Royal Raymond Rife. And he, what you make of history? So I didn't know much about this. I've just been looking it up while chatting with you. He was able to have some success dealing with disease and cancer using harmless radio waves, and was backed by the American Medical Association, amazingly, and the Smithsonian Institution. But they went to town on his reputation posthumously after he died. Do you know much about this guy?
Yeah, I know enough now to share. And it really, I'm happy this came up because I wanted to talk a little bit about Project Paperclip, and this is a good way to do it. But so people might know that there was a burgeoning amount of consciousness in the United States of America around the 1910s to 1930s. Everything from spiritual awareness to mediumship to automatic writing, entire books getting written by people. And Royal Rife was one of those guys. And I'm not sure if he did all of his own research, but his research was based in electromagnetic frequencies. And he was able, and again, genius physicist, stuff way before his time, maybe he got downloads. I don't know. I get downloads, so maybe that's what happened to him. But basically, he started to be able to determine, and again, maybe he studied homeopathy, because homeopathy is all vibrational medicine. He started to look at the frequencies of the disease itself. Now, at the same time that he was looking at the frequency of diseases in the United States, there were Germans over in West Germany, which was then West Germany, and they were looking at frequencies of diseases. So Rife created a harmless machine where you would hold these glass tubes and set the dials on the machine to go with the frequencies of the disease you were treating. So if you were treating, sciatica, you know, back pain, lumbago, whatever, you would hold these glass rods and they would set the dial for that frequency and you'd sit there for 20, 30 minutes. By the way, these machines are still being made. And by the way, yes, they did do to Dr. Rife what they do to all successful people once the AMA starts taking over. When Rife was there, the AMA was young. It was a very young organization. It wasn't the powerful lobbying system it is right now. So people were able to advance technology a little bit, like a Tesla, like a Rife. So Rife machines are still available. I have clients that still have them and use them. Frequency medicine is the next big thing. And this brings in Project Paperclip. After the war, it is told, and it's true, that a bunch of the high-end scientists that were working for Adolf Hitler came over to America and started working in the military and what ended up becoming NASA and blah, blah, blah. And you better believe a lot of them went into pharmaceuticals too. So as it turns out, not all of those scientists left West Germany. And as I mentioned earlier, when Rife was busy developing his stuff, they were uninvolved with Rife over there developing similar stuff, and they stayed in that developmental loop. They developed new versions of homeopathic remedies, a remedy for every disease in existence, a literal vibrational frequency of that disease in little pellet forms to take under your tongue. They created all of that, or liquid forms or injectable forms, and they mastered it immensely. Now, that became the new version of homeopathy. So when COVID literally happened, Richie, I called one of my favorite homeopathic companies somewhere in Florida, and I said, hey, do you guys, your scientists, do you guys have the frequencies of this new COVID-19? She said, hold, please. Came back in less than a minute and said, yes, we do. I said, good. I want a dozen of your best liquid homeopathic antiviral product, and just go ahead and add to it, zap into it with your equipment, the frequency of Corona-19. She goes, got it done. We'll be there in a week. So this is where it all is. Rife was badly treated. I actually am in an acquaintanceship with his nephew, who is perfecting machines as we speak. It's just, you have to know people. You have to know someone who knows someone, because it's all behind closed doors. It's kind of like the new speakeasy is vibrational medicine, Richie.
Oh, you're destroyed if you bring this up. There is a very famous television and radio personality in the UK whose name is Noel Edmonds. You may have heard of him, Jesse. So he was a big BBC Radio 1 DJ in the 70s and 80s. But then he went on to do nationally just massive television shows in the 80s and 90s. And he was the guy who did Deal or No Deal in the UK, that silly game show where you open the box to see what monetary value is in the box. He's a massive guy, but he's always been interested in alternative everything. And he talked about a mat that he was using, which was a frequency mat that he would lie upon, and that it was being very helpful for him, and that it could be useful in treating things, you know, like I think he said like tumours and whatnot. The speed, Jesse, of the establishment coming down on him to discredit him, to mock him, to humiliate him. It was unbelievable. You cannot say things like that in the UK. You can, obviously, on, you know, free speech platforms like this. But anywhere else, if you bring it up, you can't even be innocuous about it. You couldn't even say, if I was on the BBC Breakfast Radio tomorrow, I heard a lady called Dr. Jessie Keener yesterday on a radio show, and she said something about frequency medicine. You'd be off the programme before you could say, you know, before you could say, Bob's your uncle, gone. They really go for people here.
And I think that's going to be the way it is for a little bit longer. And then the system's going to crack open. I mean, literally, when people are just, when so many people are dropping dead, God forbid, but it's going to be happening. And by the way, not for nothing, it's not just the mRNA. It's the terrible over-the-counter products that people take. It's the lack of understanding how the body really wants to shed the poisons when we start catching a cold or catching a flu. All the erroneous treatments that our pharmaceutical industry pushes. And then if you add to it GMO foods and these GMO seed oils that I'm reading are just vicious for the body. So I think, you know, we all have to kind of brace ourselves. And this is just coming to me now off the cuff, but it feels very much like we're back in like the 14th century and we're fighting for a personal type of freedom. And like Rome is coming with the soldiers. And if you're not careful, you're going to get off, which is a pretty scary situation to be in unless you've learned how to be more of a ninja. And that's kind of how I've been training myself the last 40 years. I still perform feats of medicine that people would call miraculous. They're not. It's just simply applying the systems and the products and doing what you're supposed to do for the body. But I've had many, many cases of women with infertility, and I've gotten them ready to get pregnant and gotten pregnant. I've had a child named after me. So, you know, we just have to kind of figure out who gets it, who still has the light in the eyes, who's asking the right questions, because we should never assume that everyone wants to know this.
Yeah, and I can say, look, I used to be a terrible skeptic, right? So I've always been, my listeners would be bored of me saying this because I've said it before, while I was always polite, I was never rude, but behind the scenes, I might take the piss, right? So I might have met you years ago and I would have listened, but then behind the scenes, I would have said, that woman is a bit mad, really, you know. Anyway, let's move on. That's what I would have done, you see. So I'm a great guy to talk about this. Look, I was told I had chronic right shoulder injury. Chronic. I was told this is years of running, of playing sport. It's wear and tear. There's little can be done. We can manage the pain. But I've had energy healing, and I was sceptical. There's no placebo here. And I've been moving that shoulder free and easy without any pain for 6 or 7 months now. And that's the truth. That's the absolute truth of it. And even when I tell people that, they still laugh at me and say, oh no, you've been hoodwinked. I say, how have I been hoodwinked? I didn't believe it would work. I did it out of respect, you know.
Yeah. The best when you're skeptical. My first experience with homeopathic medicine, my mentor, Teresa Dale, put 4 little blue white pellets from a blue tube under my tongue. And I saw the blue tube, and the name of the remedy was belladonna. And I'd been a little bit of a mushroomer before that, and I knew belladonna was a very, very poisonous plant that you never consume. It's called, you know, kiss of death or whatever. And she said, it's for your blaring ear pain. And she was my boss. So I sucked on those little pellets and swallowed them. And 20 minutes later, after I begged her to let me go home and I was crying and she administered the remedy, my earache was completely gone. And I was actually not only skeptical, Richie, I was terrified. Like, she just gave me belladonna. This could be it for me. I thought
Amazing.
She liked me.
Yeah, because we've all heard that. I mean, the old witches' stories. That's right.
Yeah.
Belladonna, eye of newt. Yeah. And all of
that. Let's think about this. In the last 125 years, all of the natural and homeopathic colleges were stamped out in this country. All of them. There's only really right now 4 major naturopathic universities left. I know 2 of them teach homeopathy, but there's no longer any homeopathic colleges, no brick and mortar schools at all anymore. And our government is once again trying to shut it all down. So whenever they try to shut something down, it just kind of lights that firecracker under my behind. And I go, yep, I'm going to recommend more homeopathics to my clients. I'm going to make sure my clients know they should stockpile a few things. Everyone should have a basic first aid kit of homeopathic remedies. And if you can't get it in your country, you should make a plan to go somewhere where you can.
which is what you're going to be doing soon.
Well, I can get it here still, but I just don't want to have a book come out that's going to be as interesting as it's going to be and have people be able to find me for a while.
Jesse, before we wrap it up today, I've got 1,000 messages to read out after you've gone. There's been such huge interest in this today. Jesse's on online, so it's Dr. Jesse, J-E-S-S-I-E .life, and she's Dr. Jesse Keener on Twitter. You'll find her. I'll be tweeting Jesse later on with the recording of this show. So when can we expect the book? Are you just beginning the process? So it could be a couple of months or more before.
It's going to be a couple of months. Yeah, I actually thought of this book about, I don't know, it's 2009. I actually looked it up in my journal. It was 2009 I thought of this book. So that's way pre-pandemic. But there was a lot of flu shots and H1N1, all this nonsense with the vaccines back then. I'm like, oh my God, look what's coming. And that's when I thought of this book. You know, who will save the doctors? They're going to need to be saved. So I have some of it kind of outlined, some of it not. I'd say it's going to be probably 9 months in the making. And then knowing what publication is like, I'd say we can probably launch it for New Year's 2025. I would like to get an ebook out sooner and we'll see what we can do with that. And I may just self-publish if I can't find someone willing to go out on a limb with me.
Jesse, if I'm still alive in early 2025, I mean, you'll come back before then, but if I'm still alive then, do come back on really early to talk about the book. I say that because when my missus gets back from France and sees the state of the house, I might not be alive for much longer. You know that kind of thing. No, I'm taking the pay. I'm cleaning up. I'm cleaning. I'm washing. I'm okay, cleaning. Sure. Come here and I tell you, you saved the show today because I was knackered, as we say here. I've had a terrible week all by myself doing everything. So you've saved the show. You're an absolute tonic, Jesse. Thanks for coming back on.
I have to do it.
Yeah.
I do have healing energy.
But more than that, I would say. So Merry Christmas. And your husband is John Joseph, is that right?
Yes, John Joseph in Merida, Mexico. God bless him.
Well, listen, Merry Christmas to you both and to your family and your children. And I hope we can talk again in the new year. It's great to have you back.
Let's do it. Thanks so much, Richie.
You're
happy
welcome,
holidays,
Jesse.
To everyone out there.
And you too. Bye for now. Dr. Jesse Keener, live on The Richie Allen Show. What a terrific lady. You'll find her on Twitter, Dr. Jesse Keener, and it's drjesse.life. Do say hello to her there as well. It is fast approaching, 25 minutes past the hour. I recommend you give your immune system a kick in the backside. Give it a kick start. This coming winter. The programme this week brought to you by...
Winter's on its way and so are colds, flu and other respiratory illness. A robust immune system and vitamin D3 are your weapons in the fight to keep healthy when things get chilly. Immunex 365 vitamin capsules from NutraHealth 365 combine effective levels of vitamins D3, C and K2, as well as zinc and quercetin to give your body that winter boost at just 2 capsules a day. Plus, for your peace of mind, all NutraHealth 365 5 orders come with free 2-day track delivery. Visit NutraHealth365.com now and get winter ready.
Ask not what the BBG can do for you, but what you can do for the BBG. Support The Richie Allen Show now at richieallen.co.uk.
Welcome back. I think I might take a tune so I can grab some water and I can, while the tune is playing, I can leave the studio and check on the puppies. Yeah. I think I'll do that. 26, it is nearly minutes past the hour then. I'm with you till 7, Jesus, Mary and Holy St. Joseph. I'm with you till 6 o'clock UK time, Wednesday's programme. Before I take a piece of music, can I remind you that tomorrow, being a Thursday, I said if we didn't have Jesse today, we'd do the phone-in. Thank God we had Jesse today. So we'll do a phone-in tomorrow. I won't book a guest. And around about 4:30, you can reach me via... WhatsApp. I'm on WhatsApp, of course, for the phone-in. All these details are on the Twitter and Facebook accounts. Just go to Richie Allen Show Twitter, go to Richie Allen Show Facebook, look at the photographs, okay? So WhatsApp, there is a phone number, there is a Skype account. I'll be taking your phone calls tomorrow. And I have to be honest, I can't wait to chat with you now, to be fair. So if you want a cure, this is a cure for you. Slow Hand Cocaine on The Richie Allen Show. It's coming up for 5:30. 5:30, drive time here in Salford. And the BBC is reporting that former Minister David Davis, remember David Davis? He was a Brexit negotiator at one time, David Davis, Conservative Party MP David Davis. Apparently he intervened to stop an attack on a rough sleeper near Parliament this week, yesterday in fact, he saw a couple of men kicking seven bells, that's a quote, out of a rough sleeper, a gentleman, on the floor. And David Davis got involved. He had a go. Fair play to him. That comes in the week where McDonald's apologised and then fired one of its security guards who humiliated and disturbed a young man who was lying in a sleeping bag or in a box near a McDonald's. Did you see that as well? We don't do virtue signalling here, but you and me have a bit of compassion, don't we? I mean, you couldn't possibly ever imagine yourself, even if some idiot manager said to you, you know, if there was a manager who said to you, I want you to get rid of that guy, you just wouldn't do it. You wouldn't do it. You wouldn't. I know you wouldn't do it. And I wouldn't do it. How, where is your humanity gone if you think it's okay to pour water on a poor chap who is, I mean, I know there are worse things. There are very serious illnesses. Bereavement. I know this, right? But I have a special affinity with homeless people. You know, when I worked at WLRFM in Waterford years ago, I was known for spending time having a chat with fairly well-known homeless lads. Not knowing, oh, Richie's a saint, isn't he? Not in that kind of a way. I would have a drink with them and have a chat with them. And eventually I started putting some of the lads on the radio. I could name these lads now. It wouldn't be any good me naming them because you wouldn't know them, right? But I'm thinking of people like Kevin and Shammy and people like that. Waterford people would know who they were. We'd have a bit of a chat and a bit of a natter. And I had this thing, I used to be terrified of it. I don't know why, but I used to be terrified of it. I thought there was nothing worse than losing your, you know, the roof over your head. And I think, I suppose maybe out of that comes some empathy and some compassion. How could you do that to anybody? And it's going to sound ridiculous, but I suppose it's not too difficult then to make a leap from, if you could do that, see somebody as subhuman, well, then it doesn't take much of a stretch to for us to begin to understand how people can do the most unspeakable things to people, like politicians giving, you know, the most disgusting weapons to heads of state in other countries, knowing full well that those weapons are going to be used to kill people, to kill civilians, wherever that might be, Yemen, wherever that might be, Israel, Gaza. It's horrible, isn't it? Yeah. So David Davis jumped in then with, you know, with a bit of gusto. Well done, David Davis. I don't have any time for politicians, but David Davis. Now, Jesse did mention during our conversation Tesla and free energy. Free energy has come up many times over the years. What is it? Can you imagine it? Free energy. When you say it to people, they imagine that free energy is in the air, but you can't see it. It's electromagnetic energy. But it comes in different shapes and sizes. Faisal was on the website and he says, look into wave power technology from the 80s. There was an episode of Tomorrow's World. Remember that? Maggie? Was it Maggie Philbin on Tomorrow's World? It's a good show, that. 1982, says Faisal, they talked about wave power technology. And he says, does Faisal, that episode has been cobwebbed. It's been shelved, buried to this day. And you have confirmation the establishment is still doing its best to hold back or subvert real forms of free energy. Yeah. Yeah. I have no doubt that's true. Of course. It's amazing that, yeah, I mean, the things that they can do, you know, the things they can do on the operating table, the things they can do in bionics, you know, the internet, the things they can do with technology, even around getting online, even around televisions. I mean, I mentioned this, didn't I? Some weeks ago, after having a telly for 11 years, as it finally started to wane, go on the wane a bit, we said, damn it, and we'd go and get ourselves a telly, and we ended up with this OLED thing. And even reading about it, it's hard to imagine a human being inventing it. So there's a conspiracy now. It's the whole reverse-engineered alien stuff, which used to fascinate me when I was younger. I couldn't get my head around the compact disc. I don't know if you, I'm 48, maybe if you're a bit younger, maybe it'll make no sense to you. But if you are 48 or older, you might have had the same bewilderment as I did, wondering, how did they make that? You know, mobile phones. When mobile phones became a thing. Even walkie-talkies. I get it now. Walkie-talkies is not so much. But mobiles. You know, ringing a guy from Dublin. As I did years ago, when I first had a mobile, I was in Dublin. And I had to ring a guy in New York. And I rang him and he picked up in a second. And I couldn't understand it. I couldn't understand how I could say, how are you getting on? There was no delay. He was in New York. I was in Dublin. The guy who gave me the mobile phone was squeezing me by the testicles because of the price of it to tell me to hurry up and say what I needed to say to my friend in New York. Hurry up, fucker. Hurry up. It's already cost me a tenner. So I couldn't get my head round this. How are you? How are you, Richie? Blah, 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 blah. I'll call you from the landline. No problem. Bang. Instant answers. No delay. Couldn't figure that out. And because I couldn't figure it out, I mean, I've never had a technical mind anyway. I've no capacity for understanding how technical things work, how electronics work, circuit boards, no idea. I thought to myself, there's something very wrong with this, you know? They have cables under the Atlantic, don't they? That's how we used to make long-distance telephone calls. You'd phone somebody and they'd answer in New York and there would be a delay. Because it's travelling along the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. So, yeah. So I'm loving podcasts. These days I'm listening to podcasts when I'm out running to do with evidence of ancient astronauts or evidence that at one time there was an advanced civilization on planet Earth, but something happened to disappear them. Something natural or something else. I love all this stuff. And I might have promised you in the past and let you down, but I won't let you down now. In 2024, I'm going to be finding some top people in their fields to talk about this and the evidence around it. So, yeah, should be good fun. You know, was there something, dearest friend of mine, was there something along the line that came out? I'm not talking about Milton Bradley's Big Track now from 1980. I'm talking about, was there a bit of tech that emerged? And you said to yourself, Jesus, Mary and Joseph. I can't imagine a man or a woman inventing that. You know? Because we think of ourselves, don't we, you and me, as being fairly bright. Now, I know there are different strands of bright. I know. I know there are people that can do quantum physics. I know there are people who can do mathematical problems that are ridiculous. I get that. But some of the tech was the leap from the steam train to where we are today, was it too quick, or am I, as usual, talking monumental bollocks? Is it a natural technological progression? You know, and it is entirely understandable that the progress is exponential, because one thing leads onto another and then it speeds up like a snowball going down a hill. What do you reckon? Was there something? For me, I couldn't understand the CD that a laser would shine onto the disc and would extract the music files, and we would hear the music in crystal clarity. JVC stereos. Pioneer. Amazing. I thought, Jesus. But to be fair, I still have issues with the turntable, to be honest. I don't know how that works either. No doubt about it. Joe has said, my network provider is now discontinuing 3D to work only on 4G and 5G. That is a good shout, Joe. My provider has told me something similar recently. Thank you. Gillian says, Richie, 50 years ago, we had party lines. You shared a line with your neighbour. Quite the advancement now, says Gillian. It is, Gillian. It is, isn't it? Can somebody explain to me why not so long ago we had a guest in California whose Skype was shite. It was either him or me. I'm talking now back in the spring. The guest's name will come to me in a minute, in California. And he said to me, the guest, well, I'm not, So I played a bit of music, as you do during live radio when things go tits up, right? So a bit of music, we'll get it sorted. We'll get it sorted. And in any case, we did. He said, you'll have to ring my cell, as they say in the US of A. And I rang his mobile, and the signal was perfectly clear, and we could totally hear him and understand him. And he was answering me instantaneously. What's wrong with that? Remember years ago, when they spoke to the guys, was that a dead giveaway when it comes to the moon landings, or the original one, when they appeared to be communicating with, what was the delay when they were communicating with the lunar module, the lunar landing module, the module? When Houston was speaking to Aldrin and Armstrong and Collins, what was the delay? Can somebody do a bit of homework for me? Was it like 20 or 30 seconds? Because we know they never went to the moon. We know this, don't we? They're telling us they're going back there in a couple of years' time, but they're talking bollocks. They're not going to go back there. It's going to be CGI, isn't it? We know that the Nazis are alive and well, and they have a base on the moon. I saw the film. It must be true. But they never went to the moon, in my opinion. And what was the delay? Because when the rover lands on Mars to go about its business and take photographs, it takes several minutes, or does it take several hours to communicate with the rover, to send the radio message to the little machine to go and photograph something or pick something up? So, was that a giveaway during the moon landing? Was it an instantaneous back and forth? Because if it was, that smells to high heaven, but I don't know. Are you feeling baldy? I am and I'm not. I'm interested in this stuff. I really am. I'm very interested. David says, Richie, is mobile phone smart technology stuff they back engineered from an alien spaceship that may have crash landed, or the information sent down from the gods? Asks David. Well, David is giving us a binary choice. Good question, pal. It might be something else too. I don't know. Wiz says, free energy, Richie, is simple. If you open two windows in a room, you will create a draft even if there's no wind outside. Try it. Yeah. You won't, though. Hang on, Wiz. When we had that 40 degree temperature, when we had those last August, it boiled. It absolutely roasted for 3-4 days in August, and the liars said it was all down to us. Climate change, bullshit, it was just some very hot weather. And we had every window and every door open in the house, and we couldn't get a draft, to be honest. If memory serves, I'm not contradicting you, Wiz. William says, Noel Edmonds cured himself from prostate cancer, I think, with some vibrational sound device. But he was pilloried in the mainstream media for saying it. Yes, that's the story I shared with Jesse. Absolutely. That's right. But he also got into trouble for something. He got into a bit of an argument. What happened to you, Tom? I was in an argument, Father. Did you win? I did. He was in an argument with a Twitter user. And Noel suggested that he said something along the lines of being a bit of a contrarian, being a bit of a snarky sourpuss can contribute to you being unwell. And the guy took it wrong. It got into the papers. The guy said that Edmonds blamed him for his own cancer because he was negative or something like that. Yeah, very interesting. Rob is in Birmingham. Iron Cross, Richie. That's right. Iron Cross, the Nazis in the moon in space, that's the one. And Paul says, Richie, the Apollo studio suffered no latency. Nixon was talking in real time. Yeah, is that right? So Houston were speaking directly to the astronauts and there was no latency. I like that, Paul. The big old brain on Paul. Yeah, no delay. Wow, that should have given it away, really, no? Ian says, the delay with the communication to the moon is because of the speed of light, and radio waves travel at this roughly the same speed as light. So you're telling me there was no delay and it was perfectly understandable because of the speed of light and radio waves. So I've been corrected there, have I? No doubt. Hi to Lorraine. Richie, thank you, Lorraine, for the recommendation. I appreciate that. Joe recommends I should watch a video by somebody to prove they went to the moon. No thanks, Joe. Because I can make a video and say they went to the moon. I can make a video and say they didn't. I can make a video and say the moon is made of cheese. No YouTube content creator will convince me of A, B or C. You know, I've looked at the moon landing over the years a lot. I've not just listened to Bart Sabrell, but I've listened to a lot of people. And it makes no sense whatsoever that they got to the moon, in my opinion. And a number of you have been reaching out to me, talking to me about people who would be potentially good people to talk to about ancient civilizations. And I take those with great gratitude. Thank you. Furbies, says Gail. Why on earth did somebody invent bloody Furbies? Yeah. Are we talking about people dressing up as creatures? Weird people. Yeah, weird people. A lot of weird people out there, no doubt. Jean Anne says, 'twas the sight of Richard Nixon speaking to them from a Bakelite phone, as shown on TV, that sort of gave the game away, even to a 13-year-old girl, as I was at the time. Thank you, Jean Anne. Yes. Yes. Yeah. You have the Van Allen radiation belt. You have the question about what's not on the moon. They had to blast off it when they left it. Where's the little crater? There's so much wrong with it. That story, that they went there and they bounced around it. The shadows in the photographs, there's so much wrong with it. You know, I mean, why wouldn't they fake a moon landing if only to stick two fingers up to the Soviet Union? Right? Why wouldn't they? If that was the... I'm not saying that was the reason. I'm not saying that at all, but imagine. I mean, it makes sense. Bastards, they put a man in space before us. They might be nearly ready to go to the moon. Well, sir, I spoke to the NSA and I spoke to the CIA and they don't think Russia is anywhere near getting to the moon. Brilliant then. Let's fake it. Possibly. Possibly. Wouldn't it be great, though? In one sense, wouldn't it be great if it is faked, that the entire world fell for it? Well, not the entire world. A 13-year-old girl in Dublin didn't fall for it. But most of the world fell for it. Absolutely fell for it. Loved it. Yeah, absolutely. We made it to the moon. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. Which, of course, he got wrong, didn't he? Armstrong. He said it the wrong way around, didn't he? He should have said it the other way around. Because it was a massive step for man, but in the grand scheme of things, it was a small step for mankind. You see? I read that somewhere once, but I can't remember where exactly I read it. This is Wednesday's Richie Allen Show. You and I will speak tomorrow. I'm not going anywhere just yet, but I want to give another plug to the phone-in show. On the Richie Allen Twitter and Facebook pages, there are images, lots of images. You will find amongst them little memes with the contact details for the show. Please do get in touch. And especially if you've never spoken to me before, and especially if you are a Fraulein, a female, get in touch. We had a fantastic call first up last week, but then we had no ladies. I want ladies. I want to hear from some ladies. Let's mix it up a bit. It's nice. The gender balance is nice. I've not gone woke on you. Jesus, Mary and Joseph, I've not gone woke on you. But yeah, the gender balance is good. So let's get some ladies on the programme next week. Okie doke. And Joe reckons there's been a base on the moon since the 1980s. William Henderson says, hi William. Look at Bart's new video. The latest artificial intelligence has debunked the Apollo photos. And these were apparently shown to Vladimir Putin. But he's never going to say it, is he, William? You know, they're never going to come out and say, we have proof that the moon landing of 1969 was in fact faked. And the subsequent moon landings. How many times did they go up to the moon altogether? Was it three more times after that? Four? I don't know the answer to that. Millie, thank you for your recommendation. I really appreciate that. Diane says, this is good. Ever seen the inside of a microwave oven? Probably not human design, says Diane. The microwave, yes. Too many people have told me over the years, health people, people we've invited on the programme to talk alternatively about health, they've said, stay the bloody hell away from the microwave. Do not microwave your food. Amen, says I. I don't microwave my food. I never do, never have done. And Tim says I'm a complete idiot. I mixed up furries with Furbies, didn't I? I'm tired, Tim. It's been a long week. Well, it's only been 2 days since the missus abandoned me with the dogs and went to France for a party. But I am cream crackered. You're right. Furbies are a kid's cuddly toy, whereas furries are pansexual teenagers dressed up as foxes. Well said, Tim. So what the bloody hell are Furbies then? Gail. Lloyd says, hi, Lloyd. Noel Edmonds' vibrational prostate therapy wasn't Mr. Blobby's rampant rabbit, was it? Boom, boom, Lloyd. Mr. Blobby. The character that brought Noel Edmonds down in the 1990s. Absolutely. Terry came on to say, hi, Terry. Richie, you can ring a mobile from Limerick to New York, roughly 3,000 miles away, without any delay. Yet when NASA communicates with the International Space Station, there was always a time delay, and the space station is less than 300 miles away. And then Terry says, if anyone believes in space travel, they must be a few bob short of a pound. That's Terry's opinion. Well, I'm definitely a few bob short of a pound, but I believe in space travel. I believe man and some women have made it to space and have photographed the Earth from space. That's my take on it. DJ says, who was the cameraman who filmed the takeoff from the moon? Yes. Yes. They really were laughing at people back then, weren't they? And John Fahey, hi John. He says, there is a brilliant analysis of the alleged moon landing hoax in a film by Massimo Mazzucco called American Moon. Definitely worth the 3.5 hours runtime. 3.5 hours, John. Jesus. I know. Fantastic. 3.5 hours. Can you not get to the point in an hour? And Gillian reckons Stanley Kubrick was involved. But look, I had several conversations, just friendly conversations, off air. She never came on the programme with Vivian Kubrick, who made the documentary while The Shining was being filmed. And Vivian also did the score for Full Metal Jacket, if memory serves. Made a couple of great late night chats on the telephone. She's in the States and I was in Fallowfield in Manchester. She chatted away. She was very interested in some of the guests on the Richie Allen Show and David Icke and whatnot. We chatted about her dad and The Shining and the theory that The Shining itself, the Jack Nicholson film, which Stephen King didn't like very much, but is in fact a brilliant thriller. Wouldn't go as far as to say horror. Well, maybe, but brilliant, right? Jack Nicholson is brilliant in it, as is Shelley Duvall. Shelley Duvall's amazing in The Shining. Good God, how she didn't get an Oscar for it. Anyhow, there's always been a rumour that Stanley Kubrick placed many a clue in The Shining to alert people to the fact that he faked the moon landing. So I talked to Vivian about this and I'm like, come on, Vivian, did he do it? And she said, no. She said, not that I know, she said, to be fair to her. She said, no, because she said, I believe if he had done it, he'd have done a damn sight better job of it than whoever did do it. Now, just before I get accused of assigning opinions to people, Vivian Kubrick didn't tell me that she doesn't believe the moon landing story. She didn't tell me that at all. But she said if he'd have done it, he'd have done a better job. She might have been referring to the fact that using television cameras from the late 1960s, excuse me, it didn't give a great picture, a great clear picture. So there you are. That was Vivian's take on it. I'm not sure that Kubrick did it. I don't think he would have done it, to be honest. You know? Paula says, Richie, I believe they faked the moon landing to get us away from God. We are constantly being told we are as insignificant as a grain of sand in endless infinity. Thank you, Paula. Very good. Rich asks me, when will you get a flat earther on, Richie? I've done that, Rich. I've worn the T-shirt. I've interviewed the flat earther, and I won't be doing it again, mate, because it doesn't interest me. And people can do with that what they like. It doesn't interest me. And I have every right to be interested in things or not. Thanks, Rich. Christine says, my late dad in the 80s came home from Libya, working there. To his horror, my mum had bought a microwave. He went, unplugged it, put it in the garage, and said, you won't be using that when I'm home. He tried to convince her just how dangerous they were. Back in the 80s, he was clued in. Christine, thank you so much for that. And Streff says, they tried to simulate a delay of about 3 to 4 seconds. In one of Bart Sobrell's documentaries, you can hear Houston saying, talk to the astronauts when they left it a bit long. That is right. I remember that. Thank you for reminding me. Now, that's it for the programme today. I'm taking my leave of you. Phone in tomorrow. I've already told you that. There will be a Papers podcast. It'll be online tomorrow morning. The Papers. It goes out on podcast only. It's a bit of nonsense, really. It's me talking about the contents of the UK daily newspapers. But it's something, and it's there if you want it on your treadmill walk or your cycle in the morning. And you haven't had enough of me. And why wouldn't you have had enough of me? God damn it. But the Papers will be online tomorrow early, and I'm back with you tomorrow at 4 o'clock UK time. That was The Richie Allen Show for the 13th of December 2023. Once again, thank you so much to the brilliant Dr. Jesse Keener. Thank you, Jesse. And good luck with the move and the book and Christmas and all of that. And we'll talk to Jesse again in the new year. In the meantime, you look after yourselves and one another. I'm closing out today's programme with a classic hit from, well, from Bread. Why not? See you tomorrow then. Bye.